Yeah, sorry. Oh, yeah. This week we read Parshas Vayetze. Parshas Vayetze is a closed parsha. We say closed because there's no spaces. If you look in the Sefer Torah, from the beginning of the word Vayetze until the last pasuk, until the word Machanoyim, the 148 pasukim, there are absolutely no breaks. And that's called a parsha stuma. The Farshim say, because this is a parasha of concealment, this is the parasha where Yaakov goes into Golis. Golis is a a place of concealment, especially that it seems to have no end. Daniel, at the end of his prophecy, Daniel, when he talks about the Kates, the end of time, Daniel says, "Ki sesumim v'chasumim hadvarim ad es kates." That whatever we're discussing here, what Daniel is talking about, which he himself doesn't know exactly what he is saying, it's all nevuah ruach hakodesh, is closed and concealed and sealed until the very end. He says this before in Perek Yud Aleph as well. There are certain times during the year when we get a little taste of the kates, giloy hakates. One of those times is Chanukah. Chanukah, the upcoming Yom Tov of Chanukah, is a Yom Tov, as the Rei Keach and the Bnei Yisoschar and Rav Pinchas Karetzer all say, that is the Yom Tov in which the light of Mashiach is revealed. Oyrei Shel Melech HaMashiach. We know that Chanukah is hinted at the beginning of Bereshis, where it says, Vayar Elohim es ha'or ki toiv vayavdel. Hashem saw the light, that it was good, and he set it aside. Rashi tells us that's referring to the hidden light, the Or HaGonus. The words es ha'or ki toiv are the gematria es kates. The time of the kates, the time of the end, is when the Or ki toiv will be fully revealed. We get a taste of it, Chanukah, as we'll soon explain. Now this parasha, Vayetze, which is always read in the month of Kislev, as we get closer and closer to Chanukah, so the light of Chanukah is slowly creeping upon us and becoming more and more illuminating. Certainly a parasha read in Kislev must have to do with the Yom Tov of Chanukah. And this parasha, Vayetze, is really full of Ramazan to the Yom Tov of Chanukah, which is what Yaakov is doing here. And there are many, many difficulties and questions in this parasha, just a few to understand what's happening here. Yaakov Avinu is leaving Eretz Yisrael, he is going to Charan. He is leaving the confines of the Beis Medrash. He's leaving the Beis Medrash of Eiver, where he studied for 14 years, as mentioned last week. And he goes out into the world. He's going into Charan, as Chazal referred to it, as the Charoin Af Shel Mokoim, a place that angers Hashem. He has to deal now with a Lavan, with a deceitful, fake individual for 20 years, and then later with Esav. And he returns unscathed. Yaakov is very, very strong in his commitment. Yaakov is very, very strong, as we know, and is not affected at all by the outside influences, as we see in this parasha. And as many times as Lavan tries, and it says that he fooled Yaakov 100 times, Aseres Monim, Yaakov remains honest and faithful until the very, very end. Now, at the beginning of this parasha, we read about how the sun set suddenly, Kivah HaShemesh, and Yaakov lies down on the floor. We also read how he has an encounter with the Mokum HaMikdash, where Chazal say he went to Charan, returned back because he realized that he had passed the Makom HaMikdash and he didn't pray there. And he said, how could I have passed and not pray there? And then the Makom HaMikdash, Har HaMoriah, actually came to him. That's what the Gemara says in Chulin, that's Tzadik Aleph, which Rashi quotes here. What's happening here? Why is Makom HaMikdash moving to him? Why is the sun setting suddenly? Why is Yaakov lying on the floor? And throughout this parasha, we find an emphasis, very interesting, about stones. If there's any parasha that has the word stone and stones in it more than any, it's Vayetze. And everyone knows, of course, at the beginning, Vayikach me'avnei hamokom, and then it says, Ha'even asher son ra'ashoysov, the many stones become one. Ve'ha'even hazois asher samti matzei v'yihye beis elokim. Then afterwards we find that he goes to Bnei Kedem and he sees a well where many shepherds are waiting to draw water. And again, ve'ha'even gedoyla al pi ha'be'er. There's a stone on the mouth of the well, and they all gather together to roll the stone off the be'er, which is what they would do customarily. And then it says that Yaakov is so powerfully, so strong, despite that he's 77 years old here, he himself, again, about stones. Then we come to the end of the parasha. Lavan runs after Yaakov. After 20 years that Yaakov spends in Lavan's house, Lavan runs after him. And they have a discussion here, a very heated debate. And at the end of the discussion, Lavan says to Yaakov, let's cut a deal. Let's make a covenant. Let's make peace. Peace treaty. Right after that, Ayikach Yaakov Oven. Again, he takes a stone, lifts it up as a mat for a man, and he tells his children, Liktu Avonim, Vayikhu Avonim. What's this obsession with stones in this parasha? Why are we so busy with this? It's interesting too that the Torah describes Yaakov as the Rock of Israel, Misham Roya Even Yisrael in Parashas Vayechi. So Yaakov himself is described as Even Yisrael. What is this about the Even, about the Avonim? We also find here that very interesting that Lavan calls the heap of stones which Yaakov puts up, he calls it in Aramaic, Yegar Sohadusa. This is the only phrase in the entire Torah that's in Aramaic. Clearly in Aramaic, look at Unculus. Unculus has a very easy job on those two words because that's exactly what Yegar Sohadusa means. Yegar Sohadusa. And Yaakov calls it Galeit. Then it says again, Lavan says to Yaakov, behold this heap and this matseva between me and you. And then again, what is Gal Eid? What's going on here? Why does the Torah find this necessary to talk to us about this? Therefore, what do we learn from this? There are no extra, there's not even an extra letter, an extra word in the Torah. The Zohar tells us in Parshas Bahaloscha that if anyone thinks that the stories in Chumash are merely fables and stories and lullabies to tell your children before they go to sleep or in school for the kids. So the Zohar uses very, very sharp words. In fact, where the Torah says what seems to be unnecessary or nonsense, is really in those psukim and in those stories lie tremendous deep secrets of Torah. It just looks like it's a mere story, but really under the surface, these are not stories. These are Seidus HaTorah, especially that we know by the Avos, as the Ramban tells us, Maisa Avos Simen Labonim. So whatever the Avos, whatever the patriarchs did, they paved the way for the future. Specifically Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov is the last of the patriarchs. There are three. Avraham represents the early generations. Yitzchak, the latter generations after that. And Yaakov, the real latter generations, up until the very end, our time, Ikvasa the Meshicha. The Pasuk says, Yisa Yaakov Raglov. Yaakov lifts up his feet. An expression that we do not find by any of the other Avos, only by Yaakov. In Yaakov were the neshamos of the entire Klal Yisrael. Chazal tell us that Yaakov was the splitting image of Adam Arishon. And what that actually means is, Mefarshim explained, that Adam was a neshama klalis. Adam's soul encompassed all the souls of everyone on the face of the earth until the end of time. So did Yaakov. Yaakov, as the Zohar calls him, Bechir, Bochor, Sheba, Avos. In many ways, Yaakov is considered the greatest of the others because he has schus of his father and his grandfather, and he was pure, and he had mitasei shlema, and so on. So whatever Yaakov does is all a metaphor, it's all for the future, and it's all paving the way, especially for the last generations, the generation, our generation, which is called the Regel. We are the neshamas that are in the foot, in the heel of Adam Arishon, or in the foot, in the heel of Yaakov Avinu. Vayisa Yaakov Raglav, Yaakov is lifting up his feet, means Yaakov is trying to uplift even the last generations that are under the influence of the Tumah of Lavan and Esav and Yishmael, which is the Golus that we find ourselves in now. And as it says at the end of Parshas told us right before we come to Vayetze, Vayelech Esav El Yishmael. So what Yaakov is doing here in these parashios, and especially in this parasha, dealing with a Lavan, and also dealing with the fusion, with the union of Esav and Yishmael, which is the Christian world with the Islamic world, is for our time, specifically. So what exactly is happening over here? We find in the Sfarim HaKadoshim that tell us that Chanukah is a very, very powerful Yom Tov. Chanukah is a very, very high Yom Tov, that it was so high that that's why it's able to go so low. We began speaking about this last week. There's a detail, though, that was not mentioned last week. And that is what's mentioned in the Sfarim, and only in recent years, meaning in the last 200-300 years, has this become revealed, because now it's necessary for us to know, because it's our generation, these generations, that need the grace period. Because for us, Rosh Hashanah and Kippur is not sufficient. Aseres Yemei Teshuva is not sufficient. Even Hoshana Rabbah is not sufficient. We need more time. And therefore we have until Chanukah. Hashem gives us a grace period. Someone doesn't pay his insurance bill, to give you another month. So Hashem gives us a grace period that until the last day of Chanukah you could still do tshuva. You could still make up for what you should have completed on Yom Kippur. Chanukah, therefore, is referred in the Sifrei Kodesh as the Gemar HaChasima. It's the completion of the seal, of the Chasima, which really is Yom Kippur. And the Ramban already even calls Hoshana Rabbah. You see, in the time of the Rishonim, they already recognized that more time is needed, so they extended it to Hoshana Rabbah. And certainly in our time, we need it till Chanukah. And this is actually hinted in a Mishnah in Shkolim, which incidentally, this Shabbos, thousands and thousands of Jews all over the world are completing Maseches Shkolim, making a siyum on Maseches Shkolim. And in Maseches Shkolim, we learn about different rooms that existed in the Beis HaMikdash that were called Lishochos. And there was a room that was called Lishkas HaChosamos, Chosam. It was the room in which they would give everyone a seal, a chosam, like a receipt. They would come, get their receipt, they would give cash, and then at the end of the day, the two memunais of the Lishkas HaChosamos and the Lishkas HaNesachim would meet, and they would see if it fit, if it made sense that the amount of seals fit with the amount of cash. And then they would sacrifice the karbonis that were necessary to sacrifice. We're not going into why they did it exactly that way. But here is a very interesting Mishnah. Mi she'ovad mimenu chaysama. If someone lost his receipt, he doesn't have it. Mamtinen le'ad ha'erev, says the Mishnah. We wait till the evening. And if they find that there's that amount of cash corresponding to that receipt, we give it to him. If not, he doesn't get it. They were suspicious. This Mishnah tells us the Sfarim is also telling us something else, not just literally what the Mishnah is talking about, which of course is what it really is talking about, but like everything in Torah, there are many, many interpretations. So what the interpretation discussed in the Sfarim is relating to Chanukah. Misha Ovad Chosama, someone who lost his Chosam, I mean someone who lost his chance, sort of, he didn't do tshuva on Yom Kippur, the Chosam. Yom Kippur is the Chasima. We wish each other a kesiva v'chasima toiva, Rosh Hashanah, v'Rosh Hashanah yikosevun, uviyom som kippur yechosemun. So someone lost out. Unfortunately, he didn't do what he was supposed to, Yom Kippur. He didn't do a complete tshuva. So does that mean that he's lost? He's doomed? Mamtinen loy ad ha'erev. We wait for him, we give him time until erev, until the Yom Tov of the evening. And that's Chanukah. Now, more than that, the Mishnah says we wait ad ha'erev. Ad is Ayin Dalet, 74. There are 74 days from Yom Kippur till Chanukah. Mamtinen lo ad ha'erev. So we wait another 74 days. It's also perhaps hinted, in fact, this week's parasha, the Haftorah, is Shabbos Shuvah's Haftorah. But yes, why are we reading Psukim about Tshuva by Yetzei? What's exactly the connection? The connection is because there are other Psukim in the Haftorah that have to do with Yaakov running away. But there's also a deeper meaning here. Just like we do tshuva before Yom Kippur, we prepare for Yom Kippur, we have Shabbos tshuva. Now as Chanukah is approaching, we have this grace period and Hashem in His infinite mercy has given us more time, we again discuss tshuva. Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. Ad is Ayin Dalet. You have 74 days now. Till Hashem is Elokecha. What does that mean, Hashem is Elokecha? So we mentioned that the Zohar HaKadosh, Tikkuni Zohar, says that Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that pasuk has 25 letters, and it corresponds to the 25th day of Kislev. The 25th day of Kislev is when Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hashem is recognized as our God. The Greeks said, right on the horn of an axe, Kisvu lachem al keren ashar, she'ein lachem chelek b'lekei Yisrael, that you don't have a share in the God of Israel. So Hanukkah proves otherwise. We do. We believe in Hashem, despite what the Yevanim did to us. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Once again, we retain the name Yisrael, as we'll see in next week's parasha, when Yaakov's name is changed to Yisrael, which is the higher name from Lashon Sarara. We rule, like we did after the Greeks were defeated, the Hashmonaim took over the Melucha once again. So Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem is our God. Shuva Yisrael, do Shuva Yisrael, if you didn't yet. Ad, you have 74 days. Hashem Elokech, when Hashem is your God, meaning on the 25th of Kislev, which is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. But what's really amazing is that in the Pasuk, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, there are two large letters. Anyone who looks in the Chumash will see. There's an Ayin Rabasi and a Dalid Rabasi. A large Ayin and a large Dalid. That's 74. Ayin Dalid, which is incidentally the year we're in now. The year we're in now is Tavshin Ayin Dalid. As mentioned before, the Pasuk in Daniel, Ad Eis Ketz, two times. Not that we know, but a person has a right to be merames, especially as the Mefarshim bring here in Daniel, that the closer we get to Mashiach, the clearer it's going to get. That even simpletons are going to see Ramazim in the Torah, and are going to see happenings in the world, that the Hashem is already preparing, that Hashem is preparing us for the Geula without prophets. Even if there is no Navi, no Bali Ruach HaKadosh, you could already see it. No one knows what's going to happen. No one knows why and when. As we said, it's Ksuvim V'chasumim. But it is interesting that the word Ad is used. V'shafto Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. So we are now in those 74 days preparing for the Yom Chofei B'Kislev, where we are given a chance, once again, if we didn't utilize the Chasima on Yom Kippur, we have chance, the Chasima of Chanukah. As the Gemara uses the expression that the oil was in a flask that was sealed with the signet ring of the Kohen Gadol. B'chaisamai shel Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, of course, is the one who does the service in the Beis Mikdash on Yom Kippur. And the Antif of Chanukah was given to us via the Kohen Gadol as well. B'mei Matis Yohu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Who paved the way for this? Who prepared us for this? Yaakov Avinu. And as mentioned already, and it's important to mention it, because to appreciate the Yom Tov of Chanukah, that it is the only Yom Tov, first of all, that we light the menorah outside, b'chutz, and on the left, that's the halacha to do it, on the left side of the doorway, the mezuzah is on the right, and incidentally, in the mezuzah is written, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, the Ner Chanukah faces the mezuzah, and we do it below 10 tefachim, and the Yom Tov of Chanukah starts in the second half of the month, which no other Yom Tov begins at that time when the moon is beginning to become concealed. And it goes into the month of Teves, which Teves is the darkest month of the year, the month of Esav, the month of Dan, the lowest of all the Shvatim. So what is it about Chanukah that it goes so low and it goes out and it goes on the left and it goes where no other Yom Tov would dare to go? Because Chanukah is so powerful, because it's such a bright light, it has the ability to uplift the lowest neshamas, specifically our generation, the lowest generation that's compared to feet, the raglayim. The Zohar uses the lashon matu raglan beraglan ikfesid the Mashiach, the neshamas of Akev, and Yaakov is preparing us, our generation specifically. This is the parasha of Golus in general. So certainly, when the Golus has intensified, like in our time, when it's a chayshach kafel mechupo, when the Golus that we're in right now is so dark, and it's a hester panim like there never was, va'anochi haster aster panai bayem ahu, the Chanukah is the brightest. This Yom Tov Chanukah is different than the others. Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, for example, the further we get away from Zman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYakayim, the less we feel these Yomim Tovim, where Karbonis were brought, and it was necessary to go to the Beis HaMikdash. Chanukah is different. Chanukah was specifically given for times of concealment. It's done at night, when it's nighttime. Erev, Arvis, on the left, outside, specifically, the darker it gets, and the more difficult, the brighter the Chanukah. Simply, a room, the darker the room is, the more you appreciate the light. And the chiddush of Chanukah is that the Beis HaMikdash comes to us. Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, you got to go to the Beis HaMikdash. Chanukah, the Beis HaMikdash comes to you. And where did that happen only one time in Chumash? It happens here in Parashas Vayetze. the Beis HaMikdash greets Yaakov Avinu. Vayivga b'amoko. Yaakov goes out of Eretz Yisrael, vayelech chorona. And as the Sfarim say, this is also a remez to every neshama. The neshama of every Yid leaves Gan Eden and goes down into this world in a mashcha dechivya, in a body that pulls him to bed, that pulls him away from Hashem. That's the charon afshel mokum, and that's the purpose. The purpose is that we are to be challenged. It is difficult, and the person has to elevate himself, and the person has to work on himself, that even his body can become like his soul. So Yaakov goes out of there, Sheva, and he goes into the charon afshel mokum, and there, vayivka b'mokum, he encounters the mokum hamikdash. And while lying on the floor, vayishkav b'mokum hahu, he has a dream, and where he feels the shechina, and he's surprised. He says, Ochein yesh Hashem b'mokom hazeh? Can it be that the divine presence is felt here too? Why? Because he's in Charan and he's on the floor below 10 tefachim. He's lying on the floor below 10 tefachim. And there he feels the Shechina, because the Shechina went out with him. The Gemara says, Golu Yisrael le'edom, Golu Shechina imam. When the Jews were exiled, the divine presence went with them. So the Shechina goes with Yaakov, wherever he goes. He goes into Golus, the Shechina goes with him. So Yaakov encounters the Mokum HaMikdash, and the sun sets prematurely. Like the Gemara says, when do we light the menorah? Mishet Tishka HaChama, when the sun sets. Nighttime. Yaakov establishes Mairiv. Yaakov is the one who institutes the evening prayer. Avraham doesn't know about Mairiv. L'cha'ayra Yitzchak, he davens Mincha, Avraham davens Shachris. Yaakov introduces a new tefillah. When it's nighttime, when it's times of concealment, you can still daven. The emunoscha baleilois, like we just said in Maya. The emunah kol zois v'kayim alein. The nighttime requires faith, because it's times of concealment. Godliness is not visible. We don't feel it like we do in other times. And the chiddush, the novelty of the Yom Tov of Chanukah, is that despite the darkness, despite the concealment, there's light. And despite where a Jew might find himself, where he can find himself in the lowest places and in the lowest times, and he's from the lowest neshamas, doesn't matter. The Yom Tov of Chanukah will affect him. Chanukah affects the lowest of the low. Yaakov prepared it for. Yaakov paved the way for our generation specifically. Now the Maral Miprag. The Maral writes this in a number of places. One in his Sefer on Chanukah called Ner Mitzvah. He also writes it in his sefer called Nesivos Olam, in two different places, Perek Ches, Perek Gimel. He talks about why Yaakov is compared to a rock, as we began this talk. Misham Roya Even Yisrael. And with that, we can perhaps explain why the Torah is obsessed over here, Kaviyachal, with stones. First of all, there's a famous prophecy in Daniel, once again. Daniel prophesizes, it's actually Nebuchadnezzar who had that famous dream, which Nebuchadnezzar interpreted, where the Nebuchadnezzar sees sort of like a monster coming out of nowhere, which, with a golden head, with silver arms, with a copper chest, torso, and legs of copper and metal. And then a little rock, an even, a stone, appears from nowhere and demolishes the whole thing. That's a nevuah in Daniel. And none of his advisors, none of his wise men, none of his interpreters were able to interpret, like the similar story with Paro and Yosef. And it was only Daniel, and Daniel tells him exactly what it is. You are the golden head, that's the Babylonian Empire. Silver is the Persian Empire. Copper is the Greek Empire. And the legs are Esav and Yishmael, as Mepharshim explained there. And the rock, the small rock, that's Klal Yisrael. This is where the Maral discusses this, because he's talking about the Nevuah, the Chalom of Daniel. So he says a very interesting thing. He says, the more alive, the more neshama something has, the more it is affected by outside influences, especially a human being. A human being is very affected by cold and heat. We're very affected by someone insulting us. We have feelings. We get easily affected by the outside world. A tree, or an animal rather, an animal is the next level below a person. An animal also is affected. An animal gets wet. If it's raining, the animal will try to look for shelter. The animal also can get hurt. But not as much as a human being, of course, because it's neshama, it's nefesh, is a lot less. Then comes vegetation, trees, and even though they say that trees have feelings too, but it's certainly not like an animal or a person. And a rock has absolutely no feelings. I mean, they used to have the concept of a pet rock, but that was years ago, and they don't do that anymore. But a rock is nothing. That's what the Maral uses the word. It's einoy mispoil. It's not affected at all by anything. A rock, it could rain on it, you could do whatever you want on it. A rock has absolutely no feelings whatsoever. That's Yaakov Avinu. What does that mean? Yaakov has no feelings? No, what it means is that when it came to serving Hashem, he was a rock, like a rock of Gibraltar. He was a sellout. He wasn't affected whatsoever by his outside influence. He worked on himself. He became like a rock. Nothing bothered him. Nothing affected him. Doesn't mean he didn't have feelings or he didn't get hurt, but it means to say that he continued serving Hashem continuously, uninterrupted, no matter what was going on around him. Loved one is trying like crazy to stop it, and loved one is trying to fool him, loved one is trying to bring him down, and he is not affected whatsoever. So Yaakov is a rock. He's therefore referred to as the Even Yisrael. And that's why, Vayikach, where did it start? He took the rocks of the Mokom HaMikdash. Vayikach me'avnei HaMokom. And he put it at the head. In other words, that's the head. That's the first thing you got. You got to be a rock. And he makes this rock into a matzeva. This is the Mizbeach. This is the Mokom HaMikdash. Now, it's interesting, talking about the Beis HaMikdash, there's a Mishnah in Midos, where the Mishnah tells us, that room that was called the Lishkas HaChosamos, where those who brought specific offerings, flower offerings, would receive a receipt, which in that Mishnah, as we mentioned before, we have a hint to Chanukah. So the Mishnah tells us in Midos that in that room they found the stones of the Mizbeach, Bo Gonzu B'nei Chashmonoi, the Maccabees, the Chashmonoim, who brought us Chanukah, buried the stones of the Mizbeach, Sheshiktsum Malchei Yovan, that the Greek kings defiled because they sacrificed idols on the Mizbeach. We say in the Negunim, Oz Egmor Bashir Mizmor Chanukas HaMizbeach. Ufinu Eshecholecha V'tiharu Esmikdoshecha. Why did they have to do that? Because the Greeks came in and they defiled, and they worshipped idols, and they set up idols. What is the Mishnah telling us over here? Where did they put the Avnei, the rocks of the Mizbeach, which is what Yaakov took care of? Ayikach me Avnei HaMokoyim, the rocks of the Mokom HaMikdash. A yid has to be a rock. A rock means you are not impressed, you are not affected by the outside influences. It's buried in the Lishkas HaChosamos. That's the room that's related to Chanukah. Because Chanukah, and this is a very deep concept, Chanukah is the Yom Tov where the wall that separates us from the Goyim was solidified. Because they, the Greeks, breached. They went through, they made 13 breaches in the wall surrounding them, is the Beis HaMikdash, called the Soireg. Because the Greeks were trying to bring down the barrier that separates us from the nations. They wanted to bring down the Havdalah ben Yisrael la'am. There should be no more Havdalah, no more separation. Let's become one. Let's join together. Let's marry. You come to our colleges, study our philosophy. They weren't out to kill us. They were out to destroy us spiritually, which is why they are the Malchus Harisha. As we say in the Alanisim, Kishaamda Malchus Yavan Harashoa Al Amcha Yisrael. They wanted to wipe out, they wanted to erase the name Yisrael, which is the name that was given to Yaakov, which denotes spirituality. They wanted to uproot spirituality from Klal Yisrael. As we mentioned many times in the last few weeks about the Akrav, the scorpion, the Medrash calls the Greeks Akrav, Pasuk and Akev, Nochosh Sarav, the Akrav, which Akrav says that Tikkuni Zohar is Okar Bayis. They wanted to uproot us from our source, from our roots. And they wanted to infiltrate and enter and penetrate where a goy is not allowed to go. That wall around the Mokom HaMikdash called the Soreg is the point where a goy cannot go any further. As the Mishnah says in Kalim, that's where they breached. That's where they went in. Nichnisu Yivonim Lehecho. Now, very interesting. Where did this start? It really starts in this week's parasha. There's a very, very interesting Chassam Sofer in the Drushes, where the Chassam Sofer writes that because Lavan uttered these two words in Aramaic, and it was inserted in the Torah, the amazing thing the Chassam Sofer says, that caused that later on, hundreds and hundreds of years later, Nichnesu Nochrim Lehechol, because Goyishkeit has entered the Torah, a foreign language. And he makes an unbelievable cheshbon. He says that this happened, the story at the end here of Parashas Vayetze, on Zayin Ov. Zayin Av was when Nichnisu Nachrim Lehechol. That's when the Goyim came into the Beis Hamikdash the first time before it was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. They came in on the 7th of Av. That's when Lavan said Yigarso Hadusa. So what Lavan is doing here by saying Yigarso Hadusa is what the Yevanim are doing too, because they're also entering and trying to bring their Tumah, their philosophy into the Beis Hamikdash, into the hearts of every single Jew. Lavan comes running after Yaakov Avinu here, and he says, the Nichrusa Bris Anivato. Let's make a Bris. What's Lavan trying to do? Lavan sees he can't get Yaakov, it just doesn't work. Yaakov is there for 20 years. The Torah stresses this two times over here. Zeh Esrim Shana Anoichi Imach. It's 20 years that I'm with you here. 14 years for Lavan and for Rachel and Leah, and another 6 that I spent with the sheep, which is also an amazing story here that very, very few understand. Why the Torah elaborates this whole thing with the spots and the speckles and the dots and the... What's going on here? What is this, the coloring? What is this here? What's happening here? The Zayar says that Yaakov was busy with the kavanas of Tefillin. And other Svarim said that what Yaakov was really doing was preparing Am Yisrael. These sheep were really the neshamas of Klal Yisrael, and he's trying to separate them from Lavan. And he ends up with the sick and the old and the animals that are not well. Those are, again, the lower neshamas. That's what Yaakov was busy with over here. 20 years he's dealing with Lavan. Esrim Shana. The Torah uses the word here, Esrim. That means that the Avoda of Yaakov in Haran, where Yaakov is dealing with Lavan and with the outside influence and with the left, which Haran is on the left side and below Ten Tefachim and all that, was a 20-year period. The Navi tells us in Chagai, a Nevuah that just came across recently. So Chagai says, "Koyamar Hashem Tzvakos." He's talking about the downfall of the Persian Empire, and he says there's going to be another one, the Greeks. The Ani Marish, he says, I'm going to shake up Marish. From the word Ra'ash Shamayim, Ra'ash, the heavens and the earth. What's this shake up talking about? Says Rashi, the miracles that are going to be done Libnei Chashmayno'i. That's the Nes of Chanukah. So the Navi Chagai is prophesizing about a shake-up that's going to take place in the world when the Greeks fall by the Chashmonoim, by the Maccabees, which is the Nes of Chanukah. What's this word, Mar-ish? Mem-resh, Ayin Yud-shin. So Mem-resh, Ayin Yud-shin is the exact same letters as Esrim. The Gemara says in Shabbos, in the Sugya of Chanukah, that the Ner Chanukah, that's Lamayla Me Esrim Amma Psula. Chanukah is up to 20, not... If you light the menorah above 20 amma, the lighting is invalid. They've got to do it over again. Now, Esrim, the word Esrim, is the same letters as Ayin Sorim, 70 rulers. There are 70 rulers, or 70 nations, and those 70 nations have Sorim, have Malachim in Shemayim to represent them. The United States has a representative in Shemayim, whoever that Malach is. And Russia has their Malach, and Syria has their Malach. And throughout the ages, there were those who were malachim that represented the nations. And when the malach falls, that's when the nation falls. And when nations are antagonizing one another and there are wars going on, it's because the malachim and Shemayim are having battles. By Yaakov spending these 20 years with Lavan, Yaakov paved the way that we'll be able to deal with all the nations, the Ayin Sarim. Because Lavan says the Zohar, was Bilam. Gemara says it was that Bilam's father was Lavan. Gemara says Bilam ben Baor, Baor is Lavan. But from the Zohar is Mashmah that Lavan is Bilam. How does it work out? It was the same neshama, whatever the pshat is. The Medrash Tanchuma brings down in this week's parasha that this heap of stones, the Gal Eid, that Lavan and Yaakov set up sort of to make peace with one another. Later, when Bilam crushes his leg, that Tilochets Regel Bilam El Hakir, says the Medrash Tanchuma in this week's parasha, that was that heap of stones. Rashi says, Goder Stam Shel Avonim. Avonim, stones. The same stones that Yaakov set up. And really what Yaakov is doing, as we'll see in a moment, is making a barrier, a separation between him and Lavan. That's where Bilam, later, while riding on the donkey, where the donkey is trying to squeeze his way through, squeezes against his foot, and he crushes his foot, and from then on he's crippled. But Tilochets Regel Bilam El Hakir. So Lavan, Bilam is the same. That means Lavan, Bilam, that's the source of all the tumah in the world. Bikesh Lavan Lakar es hakoil, everything. He wanted to wipe everything out. We say Pesach by night, Arami Oived Ovi Vayered Mitzrayim. There's a sefer called Matame Yitzchak. It brings down from another sefer called Galya Razia, Kabbalah sefer, that Arami Oved Avi, Lavan, tries to destroy everything that Yaakov worked for by inserting these two words, Yigarsa Adusa, in the Torah, which is Aramaic, and because of that, Vayered Mitzrayim. That causes that Yaakov has to go down to Mitzrayim later on, whatever that means. But what we see from this, what the Chassam Sofer mentions this too, that it was Zayin Av, is what Lavan is trying to do here is what the Yevanim were trying to do later on. The Yevanim enter into the Heichel, and they want to contaminate us, and they want to bring their influence in. They want to destroy the barrier. They want to bring down the separation between us and the nations. That's exactly what Lavan is trying to do here. Lavan sees he can't get with Yaakov during those 20 years. Esrim, the Esrim years. Esrim is Begematria Keser. Keser is 620. Chanukah is mitzvah number 620. There are 620 mitzvahs. 613 biblical, midoraisa, and 7 rabbinic. The last mitzvah ever given to Klal Yisrael is Chanukah. And that mitzvah is the last, until the very end. That's the last mitzvah that was given. Mitzvah number 620, equal to the word Esrim. It's interesting also, if you take the word Chanukah and you spell it b'miluai, that's ches yutof, nun vav nun, chof pei, is also equal to 620. Chanukah is mitzvah number 620. It's the last letter of the Aseres Hadibros. In the Aseres Hadibros, there are 620 letters, beginning with the Aleph and the Chaf, which the Chaf goes down, the Chaf Sofis, below 10 Tfachim, down into the dumps, down into the depths of Golis. That's the Yom Tov of Chanukah. That's the last letter of the Aseres Hadibros, letter number 620. Esrim. Esrim is the same letters as Rishoyim. Yaakov has to deal with the Rishoyim during these Esrim, during these 20 years, with the Ayin Sarim, with the 70 rulers. There's a sefer called Gevuras Aryeh from Reb Leibish Lamsit. It was a big tzaddik. So in his sefer on Chanukah, he brings a pasuk in Yeshaya where it says, Vayilbash Siddaka Kesiryoin. So the Gemara in Bava Basra on Teslam Adbeis. So the Gemara brings this pasuk, and the Gemara says that Siddaka is like a suit of mail, and that mail doesn't mean the mailman. Mail means like a sirion, is a, how you said, a shield. And the way they made shields in those days was klipos, shells one on top of the other. So the Gemara says, just like a sirion is made out of one klipa mitztarefes l'sirion gadol, so tzedakah also pruta mitztarefes l'cheshbon gadol. But knows, little, the person gives a nickel to tzedakah, then a dime. So all of the money that he gives joins together into one big giving, and it's considered a great thing. So tzedakah is compared to a siryon. So the Gevuras Aryeh said, the word siryon is sar yavon. That means the representative of Greece, that's the malach of yavon up in Shamayim, klipa mitztarefes. He says, yavon is kolel all the klipos of all the tumas. That's how powerful the tumah of yavon was. It was called choshech. Much more difficult than any of the other empires, the Babylonians, the Persians, they didn't do to us what the Greeks did to us. The Tumah and the effect that it had, how many Jews went off, how many Jews assimilated as a result of the Yevanim, the Mesiavnim, and those who didn't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh, was all as a result of Malchus Yevan. It was a nace that we were saved, because there were so few Jews that were still loyal to Hashem. That was the great mercy of the Yom Tov of Chanukah, the Chanina. Chanukah Miloshim Chanin, that Hashem had mercy on us, despite that we didn't deserve it. Which they say that's the difference between the dreidel and the gragger. On Chanukah, you spin the dreidel from the top. And on Purim, you rotate the gragger from the bottom. Because Purim came about because we deserved it. It came from the bottom. It came from us. We davened, we learned, we said, we did tshuva, we fasted for 3 days. Chanukah, that didn't happen. A sefer called Siach Yitzchak, and he writes, literally, that means that during these 8 days of Chanukah, there's no fasting and no eulogizing. He said it means Chanukah came about despite that there was no fasting and no tshuva. There wasn't any tshuva. Klal Yisrael really didn't deserve it. So it was a miracle that came totally from above, which is very, very encouraging, that even if we don't deserve sometimes, and perhaps maybe we don't, but Hashem still has mercy on us. And the light of Chanukah still affects us, despite. So, Yaakov has to deal with all the nations here. Because Lavan, Bilam, that encompasses the Ayin Sarim during these 20 years. That's why the Navi Chagai uses the word Marish, a shake-up. Marish, the same letters as Esrim, Ayin Sarim. Svarim also tell us that on Chanukah we reach the level of Nun, the Shar Nun. That's the 50th level of wisdom that's known as Emunah, Lamailam and Adas, Sha'orim, Esrim. You have the word Shar, and then you have Yud Mem, which Yud Mem is 50. Shar Nun. Shar Nun is Bigamatria Esrim. That's Keser. Keser is Shar Nun. Keser in the spheres, when you talk about the 10 spheres, Keser, which is the crown, that's the highest. Keser is 620, that's the highest level. That's where one can reach on Chanukah. That's how powerful Chanukah is. So love, Yaakov prepares this for us while going out into Golis, out into Choram, lying on the floor, dealing with Lavan, dealing with Lavan's minions, dealing with the deceit of 20 years of falsehood, and coming out unscathed. But Lavan's not finished. So Lavan runs after Yaakov at the end of the parasha, and he says, let's make a bris. We know that Hashem made a bris with us. And the Gemara says in Gittin Daf Samach that the bris that Hashem made with Klal Yisrael was Torah Shabal Peh. Like Koras HaKadosh Baruch Hu bris in Yisrael, Ela im Torah Shabal Peh, Shenamar ki al pi advarim o'ela korata yitcha bris. So Lavan wants to make another bris. Lavan wants to make a bris to counter the bris that Hashem made with us. Like the Yevanim. The Yevanim aleichem against Torah Shabal Peh. So what does Yaakov do? Again, he takes a heap of stones. Avonim. Because we got to be strong. We cannot be impressed by him. His overturns of what? Maybe he's changing. Maybe this is not the same Lavan. Maybe now we can trust him. No. Vayikach Yaakov Oven Vayirimeho Matseva. So Lavan calls it in Aramaic, Yegarso Hadusa. He's trying to infiltrate. He's trying to penetrate. He's trying to affect us with Aramis, like the Yevonim, with Yevonis, with Chachmas Yevonis. So the Yaakov Korolo Galeit. So the Sipurno says, Yaakov did not change his language. He stayed steadfast. Meaning Yaakov was not affected by the Aramaic phrase that Lavan said. Let's speak Aramaic. Let's speak English. Let's speak Arabic. Let's speak Greek. Let's study philosophy. Yaakov Korolo Galei. No, I only speak Lashon HaKodesh. I'm not affected by Yagarsa Adusa. The word Galei is two words here. There's Gal and there's Ayin Dalet once again. Galei, that's Chanukah. Chanukah is the Yom Tov where we reconnect with Hashem and we solidify that barrier that the Greeks breached to try to bring us with the Goyim to become one with them. Like Lavan says, "V'nichrus of bris aniva ata." We don't allow it. We learn from Yaakov to be like a stone, like an Evan. The Evan azos hashasamti matzeva. Mashiach is called an Evan, the stone in the nevuah of Daniel, meaning what's going to bring the Geula? What's going to bring down the empires? The stone that's going to bring down the empires. So what do we learn from that? That means we have to be like stones. We have to be like Yaakov. He took the Avnei HaMakom, Vayikach Yaakov Oven, Vayirmel Matzeva. We go out into the world, and there's a lot, unfortunately, that we can be very, very easily affected, especially today. The outside influences are overwhelming. But we come from Yaakov. So we learn from this parasha, how do you deal with the outside world? You have to be strong, steadfast, not to be impressed, not to be in the spoil. Vayikach Yaakov Oven, Vayirmel Matzeva. And with that, we can deal with Esav and Yishmael. It says here, Korosh, Alkein Korosh Moi Galeid. The words Alkein Korosh Moi Galeid is Begamatria Vayelech Esav El Yishmael. When Esav joins with Yishmael, all the nations, the Ayin Sarim, so what? We have Galeid. Gal is 33. Gal means Gilui. Gal means revelation. Chanukah is the Yom Tov of revelation. That's the Yom Tov in which the hidden light is revealed, when the oil under the ground was revealed. It was buried and it was revealed. Literally, that's what happened. Matzu pach shel shemen shel yemunach b'chaysamay shel kayen gadol. They found it. The hidden became revealed. Right, b'chaysamay shel kayen gadol. Gal. What's the 33rd word of Chumash? If you count from the beginning, Bereishis, the 33rd word is toiv. Es ha'or ki toiv. That's the toiv, the aragonas that we're talking about. That's that phrase mentioned before. Es ha'or ki toiv ayavdel, which is bigamatria, the word Chanukah 8 times. Because that's what Chanukah is. Chanukah is rooted in those words. That's the hidden light. Toiv is the 33rd word. Many say that's associated with Lag Ba'omer. Lag Ba'omer. Lag Ba'omer is also a day in which the hidden was revealed. The secrets of Torah by Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rashbi. Reishin Beis Yud is bigamatria lahadlik ner Chanukah. The same Bechina, what was revealed Chanukah is later revealed Lag Ba'omer and will be revealed totally when Mashiach will come. So what's Gal Eid? Gal, the revelation of that which is hidden, Ayin Dalet, 74 days after Yom Kippur. That's Gal Eid.
Gal Eid is equal to the word Vayetze. Vayetze is this week's parasha. It's called Vayetze. Vayetze is Vav Yud Tzadik Aleph is 107. Gal Eid is 107. That was Yaakov went out, and what did he bring? He brought us Gal Eid. He brought us the Yom Tov of Chanukah, which is 74 days after Yom Kippur. When even after you think it's over, there's no chance, we're given another chance. I saw an amazing thing from the Kedushas Tzion, from the old Bob of the Rebbe, Chusay Yagon Aleinu, who was killed in the war. Hashem Yinkon Domai. He says, Yaakov, if you notice at the story at the end of the parasha over here, when Lavan comes running after him, so he says, Ma pishi macha tosi ki dolakta acharoi. What did I do wrong? Why are you running after me? What's happening? He quotes the Zera Kodesh, the Rav Shitzah, who says that Yaakov learned from Lavan a lot. He learned from Lavan how to serve Hashem. You see how the goyim, the excitement they have for all their nonsense. You watch what goes on by a baseball game. You watch how the excitement, everyone jumping out of their seats when someone hits a home run. The unbelievable excitement. So what do you learn from that? A bunch of mishugoyim. No, you learn a lot from that. That's how excited we should be when we understand the atosvus. Imagine everyone all of a sudden jumping out of their chair from joy because now I understand a piece of Gemara well, like the way they jump out of their seats when some guy hits a ball. We could learn from the goyim the way they, the enthusiasm that they have to what they're doing, which not necessarily is bad, and certainly from the bad that we see the goyim do, where they run. So that's how we have to be for Kedusha. And that's what the Zera Kodesh said, that Yaakov says to Esav, Im lovan garti, the tarjag mitzvah shamarti. I learned how to keep the 613 mitzvahs from Lavan. How do I learn it from Lavan? The way he ran to his idol worship and the excitement that he had to fool people and his whole, all his wickedness, from that I learned how to be good. So Yaakov is that's called taking out the sparks of Kedusha that are in all the nations and all over the world. When we live here in Bayswater, in New York, wherever it is, we're here for a reason, we're here for a purpose. We have to learn, even from the nations, whatever they do, for bad, we have to do for good, lahavdol. And thus we take out the sparks of Kedusha from them, and then when that happens, we don't have to be there anymore. So when Yaakov left Lavan, he figured he finished the job. His son said, Lokach Yaakov me'ashela avinu. Yaakov took everything away from us. He took away all the sparks of Kedusha. There's nothing left. There's no reason for us to survive. And then all of a sudden, Laban's running after Yaakov again. So Yaakov is saying, what did I do wrong? Perhaps I didn't finish the job. Why is he running after me? So when Laban says, V'nichrus abris aniva ata, says the Kedushas Tzion, Yaakov saw, I can learn from this too. You know what you can learn from this? Never give up. Look at this man here. You would think after 20 years, he finally realizes that he's not going to be able to get me. He still runs after me. Maybe another chance. Wow, from there you learn what? You learn that a person should never give up. So he's learning something good from love and running after him. That in bad, in evil, he doesn't give up. So then we should never give up. And that's Chanukah. Because Chanukah is Gal Eid, that even though Yom Kippur is over and Hoshana Rabbah is over, you don't give up. You can still do tshuva. You can still connect to Hashem. And this explains to us why the Torah is so Meirich, why does the Torah spend so much time talking about seemingly unnecessary psukim here? Like what do we have to know? There's a lot here. There's so much in these psukim that is related to the upcoming Yom Tov of Chanukah. That Chanukah is a hemshech of Yom Kippur. Chanukah is a time when we can make up. B'nai Yisoscha says, Matis Yohu is Begematria Rosh Hashanah. Chanukah is a hemshech of Rosh Hashanah. It's a hemshech of Yom Kippur. It's a hemshech of Sukkot. That's why the Gemara says that Peshamai's sheet is, you're supposed to light the menorah in decrease mode. Pochasim, keneged porei hachag, like the bulls on Sukkot, that every day they sacrifice one less. Because Chanukah is a hemshech, it's a continuation of what we had in Tishrei. If we didn't complete, if we didn't finish, we still have Chanukah to accomplish it. And this is perhaps the other even that's mentioned in the parasha. Vayogel es ha-even me'al pi ha-be'er. The Medrash, the Gemara actually in Sukkah says on Nunbeis that even is the Yetzer Hara. You hear interesting contrast here. On the one hand, we're saying that Yaakov is like a stone, and he takes the stones of the Beis HaMikdash, the stones of the Mizbeach, which are in the Lishkas HaChaisamais, which is the room that is associated with Chanukah. That's the Chanukas HaMizbeach. And then on the other hand, we're saying that he rolls the stone off the mouth of the well. So the Medrash tells us, what's the Be'er? The Be'er is the Torah. What's Al Pi HaBe'er? Al Pi is Torah Shabal Peh. There's an Even Al Pi HaBe'er. The Yetzer Hara doesn't want us to learn. The Yetzer Hara doesn't want us to delve into Torah Shabal Peh. The Yetzer Hara doesn't want us to learn Pnimius HaTorah. which has been revealed in recent years. The Yetzirah doesn't want us to be closer to Hashem. The Yetzirah doesn't want us to connect. Connect with Him, not with... So the Yetzirah is like a stone. The Hasiroisias leiv ha'evem mi besarchem, the Navi says. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh. Because the Yetzirah is compared to a stone. So it says the Gemara. So what does Yaakov do? Vayogel es ha'evem me'al pi ha'be'er. He's a stone. In Kedusha, he's a stone. He's a rock. He's solid. He's not impressed from the outside at all. He goes on and does what he has to do. But and the Evan that's negative, he removes it. Vayogel es ha'evem me'al pi ha'be'er. Especially in our generation. Vayogel es ha'evem me'al pi ha'be'er. Those words are exactly the gematria. Ikfasid the Mashiach. Our generation is an Evan. There's a stone. The Yetzirah is so powerful in our time, like it ever was. But Yaakov prepared us. Yaakov already removed the stone from the mouth of the well. By Yaakov doing that, today we can also do it. A person shouldn't say, well, I can't. It's impossible. Yaakov did it for you. You can do it too. You come from Yaakov. You're a Ben Avram Yitzchak for Yaakov. You can do it also. That's why the Torah talks about the stone on the well. Also, why is it negay? What he's trying to show off to his future bride? Like those who learn Chumash literally and think that's what it means. That's what he's doing. He's removing the obstacles, the Evan, the Yetzirah, the powers of evil from the Be'er, from the Torah, from Torah Shabbal Peh. So Yaakov is preparing us for the Yom Tov of Chanukah. Yaakov dealt with the lowest neshamas. Vayisa Yaakov Raglov, his begamatria of a tzaddik ve'emunasa yichya. Our generation requires emunah. We live in a generation now with total concealment. We don't see anything. All we have is the Ein Lanu Shir Rak HaTorah HaZayis. That's all we have. We have the Torah that we can learn. We have Chesed, Tzedakah, helping others, bringing others back. Especially the Yom Tov of Chanukah is Oyroi Shal Melech HaMashiach. The first time the Torah ever says the word Shemen is right here in this parasha. Vayitzak Shemen Al Roisha. It says Yaakov takes the stone, Vayikach Es Ha'evem, and he pours oil on it. That's Chanukah. That's the Yom Tov of Chanukah. Vayitzak Shemen Al Roisha. That no matter where a Jew finds himself, the Yom Tov of Chanukah will elevate him. The Yom Tov of Chanukah will bring him back. Today we see Jews that are found in every part of the world are coming back, are being introduced to Torah and mitzvahs. That's the power of Chanukah. That's Mashiach. Mashiach is the Peretz. The Navi Micha calls him Yale HaPeretz Lefaneinu. Peretz. Ish Ben Parzi. Paratzta, that's Mashiach, it's Peretz, that's Chanukah. Partzu chaymois migdolai, they made a pritza, they made a breach. That's so we have to also make it, we have to breach outward, they breach in, we got to breach out. They try to bring their outside influence in, we have to spread Kedusha out. That's Chanukah, we have to light the menorah by the doorway. It has to affect, normally we don't do that, we stay quiet, we stay private, you know, no mitzvah to go out into the street. But this generation that we live in is different. We're in a generation now where there's a very big Rishus HaRabim, and many Jews that are in the Rishus HaRabim, and many Jews that are on the left, and many Jews that are below 10 Tfachim, like in Tillim it says, Kishocha le'ofar nafsheinu dofko la'oretz bitneinu. David HaMelech is talking about a generation that's on the ground. That Yishkav, Yaakov, lies on the ground to affect that those neshamas that are on the ground can also experience an aliyah, could also feel the Shechina, Ochein Yesh Hashem b'amokom hazeh. Yaakov can't believe that you can feel the Shekhinah on the floor in Choron, Bachutz, on the Tzad Smoil. And that's Chanukah. Chanukah, the Yom Tov, as the Novi Chagai says, Marish. It's a shake-up. Chanukah is a shake-up. He calls it a shake-up. It's a shake-up of all worlds. There's no Yom Tov like it. We take it for granted. We don't realize. We think Chanukah is just like a cheap Yom Tov, and then the banks, they have an electric menorah, and it doesn't mean anything. The Goyim even know about it. On the contrary, Chanukah is so powerful, it shakes up the whole world. It's a ha'ora, it's a light of the future. It's the ace kates. Daniel calls the Zman of Geula chosum. It's sealed. No one knows when Mashiach is going to come. No one knows how. No one knows what. We just know what it says in Chazal. We know what it says in the Pesukim. It's the Dvarim chasumim ad ace kates. Parshas Vayetze is a closed parsha. But in the parsha lies the kates. In the chasim, Chanukah is the Yom Tov of the chasim. Chanukah is the ace kates. That's why when Mashiach will come, all the barriers that prevent us from rebelling against the nations, the famous Gemara and Ksubas, that we're not allowed to rebel against the nations when we're in Golus, Vayimrudu ba'umais, the Shalosh Shvuas, whatever. On Chanukah, there's no such thing. Chanukah, we go into, we rebel against the nations, spiritually, obviously.
The That's the
Yom Tov
around that time.
Yeah, yeah, that's the 25th, exactly. We go into the Gvul of Esav. We go into the boundary of Esav, which is the Tzav Smoil, Lamata Miyud, the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. We're not afraid, because it's Ace Kates. It's a Giloy of Mashiach. When Mashiach comes, the Shvuas Abotol. Vayetze Yaakov Miber Shova, Mibeir Shal Shvua. He's not worried about the Shvua. Vayele Chorona, he goes to light the Chanukah candles. Chorona. Choron is Neir Ches. The Chanukah menorah that has Ches Neiros, Yaakov goes out into the world, into Golus, into the darkness to light the Chanukah menorah, specifically for our generation, that you should know, as Fasemis writes, that when you light your menorah in your house, no matter where you live, Bayswater, West Hempstead, wherever you live, the Beis HaMikdash is there, Vayivga Bamokon. You encounter the Makom HaMikdash no matter where you are, which is not said by any other Yom Tov, but by Chanukah, that's a fact, that the Sfasemis, that every year is like Matisyob and Yochanan and Kohen Gadol, lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, but of course, we'd like to have the real thing, the Bayis HaShlishi, which we so desperately need. The world is mamash going down the tubes, Beruchni, as we see clearly what's happening here, it's turning more and more left. We need Chanukah like crazy now. Chanukah mamash, Ner Chanukah Mismoil is so apropos to our generation, especially after the results of recent elections, we see where we're holding. The Yerida is so powerful, that makes the Aliyah, the Ur.
Sorry, can I just make an announcement?
Yes.
If anyone is a car on May 25th, they're bringing in trailers for ZA tonight. I don't know if anyone wants any cars there, but they're going to cut their phone stuff.
Yeah, we're going to finish in a minute. Okay.
Sorry. Between Porter Avenue and Healy Avenue. Really, they're not towing really on the other side of the property.
Everyone have a good night. Go and get your cars. Then I will finish anyways. Go ahead.
All right, thank you.